My name is Birdie, and I'm a medium. That means I can communicate with spirits, amongst other things. I started seeing spirits before I can even remember. I grew up feeling cursed, but now I am taking control of my abilities.
My name is Robert, and I'm an energy worker. That means I'm in tune with the flow of energies that surround us. I'm immersing myself in the paranormal to discover where my path will take me.
Welcome to our Spirit Diaries. Hello, and welcome to the Spirit Diaries. My name is Birdie, and I am here with my co-host,
Robert.
And we are going to be wrapping up the story of our very, very haunted apartment. Hopefully the most haunted place we'll ever live in.
Yeah, I hope that never happens again.
I know. It's always a fear in the back of my mind that it will happen. So I do want to start off this time and address a lot of emails and DMs and tweets. We've been getting a lot about this. So I do want to address some of those first. So the biggest question or comment I get through DMs and emails seems to be about my parents.
Right.
I know they're special people, and I know over telling these stories from season one till now, I think you guys definitely see a side of them. I want to say that this was only them in regards to the paranormal, so of course it wasn't all negative all the time. I am leaving out a lot of real life stuff to only focus on tales of the paranormal. In these stories of the paranormal, my parents were very unsupportive, and I really do beyond appreciate everybody's emails that have been so kind. I promise you, I've been crying over some of them. They're like the sweetest things I've ever read. But I do want to just go ahead and update you all. My parents do now believe that I'm a medium. And we will get to that in the story, but since you all are really concerned about how that relationship ended up, I do still talk to my parents. I actually seen them yesterday for the first time in a few years. And of all things that we could have done, we went to paranormal investigating together. So they're definitely open to it. It's been a huge change, and it's something that I'm still working with, accepting. They're just really open with it. But they do still treat me now, even though they believe me that I'm a medium. And we'll talk about how I've validated myself to them and all of that to make them believe. They still kind of treat me a little bit like a show pony.
Yeah, they definitely like try to get you to keep proving it to them or keep showing what you can do or like keep validating that you're still a medium.
Right. I feel like if for them now, if I'm not proving it every 3 seconds, then they like forget.
Right.
So it's a difficult relationship. But they've been very into trying to get my younger sibling to be a medium, which I think is really freaking weird.
Yeah, it's very strange.
They've been working to try and like enhance his psychicness and really wanting him to connect to the other side because they want him to be a medium.
Right.
And I cannot wrap my mind around that at all, because through these stories, I want to share the real side of mediumship. I think a lot of times it's very beautiful and flowery and such an amazing thing. And it is at times. I there's times when, you know, the mediumship blows my mind and it's like, wow, you know, maybe it's a good thing I have this. But a lot of times it's scary, it's dark, it's confusing. It crosses the line sometimes with mental health, and that is even more confusing to try and unwrap what's me, what's paranormal, what's, you know, explainable, what's not. So I think it's really weird for them to really want to push somebody to tried to open that side of their mind. And I just don't think, I think he's sensitive for sure, but I don't think he's a medium.
I would agree with that.
And I don't know how into it he is. I definitely feel like they're pushing him towards it. And I don't know. I feel a little weird. They want to have a whole paranormal like family at this point. It's been something that they've almost become obsessed with in a way.
And I feel like that's come with the rise of all the paranormal shows and how the occult is becoming a lot more mainstream and accepted. It's almost like it's an entertaining thing now. So right. They want to like, they want to play, they want to have fun with it. They want to explore the spooky medium side and
yeah,
have fun almost.
Yeah. And yesterday, so we were going through some old abandoned houses. Nothing negative happened in them in terms of mediumship. There was nothing. I was debating recording it for you all to throw up on YouTube. But honestly, if I walk into a place and it's not haunted, there's really no reason for us to sit there and pretend like we're going to get all this evidence. You know, if we go into a place and there's nothing, we're going to tell you like there's nothing. And that doesn't mean that it never has activity. But while we're there, there's no need to pretend like we're having these profound experiences if there's not. And my parents were super upset about this.
Yeah,
they definitely have been binging paranormal TV, it was apparent, and they are expecting things to happen like this. If I ask a question, I better be getting an EVP with an answer in these 3 minutes or else I'm bored.
Right. And what I think they don't understand is in that 1 hour of TV show that you're watching, that's like 12 to 16 hours of investigating.
Even days sometimes, depending on the groups.
Right, that
do
they've
it.
Condensed right. down into that 30, 45 minute to an hour episode.
Right.
It's like, so you're getting the one after another experience because while their experiences are probably 4 hours apart, you're seeing them 2 minutes apart.
Right, right. And they were not happy that these places weren't haunted. They were not happy that, you know, the few things I got mediumistically were not enough. But a lot of times I think, you know, not every place is haunted. And just because a place is creepy doesn't mean there's a demon inside, you know?
Right.
Our apartment was beautiful. It was a luxury apartment now. And I mean, it's a beautiful place. And if it's still haunted, I'm sure you don't know on the first impression. Because looking at photos of it, I mean, it's a gorgeous place. It looks at a lake. It's not a place where you would go, oh my God, a couple had a demonic experience here.
Right.
You know, and if a building, we're going into these, you know, abandoned, scary buildings, it's like, while they look visually very scary, they're straight up out of a horror film with your eyeballs, you know, energetically. You know, nothing negative has happened there. Some of them were actually quite happy and normal. And it's like, if somebody only lived in this place for 10 years before it went abandoned and all their experiences were happy, you know, there's not necessarily going to be something. And the one thing that we did see in there was an elemental air spirit that was in one of the houses, which is not surprising because it was in the middle of the woods. And you know, of course, some nature stuff might move in for a bit.
Right. Eerie doesn't necessarily mean haunted.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's where my parents are at. It's still a working relationship. And yeah, now they're obsessed with the paranormal, as crazy as that sounds. Isn't that weird?
It's a very stark contrast.
Right. And one of the things that got them hooked on the paranormal is when we were at their house during this demon apartment experience and we were sleeping on the side of it and all of our stuff was there under a tarp, one of the things we brought was the dresser from our bedroom, and it was a very antique piece of furniture. It was not able to be moved because it was so heavy, and my parents actually refused to move it to our new place when we found one, and they kept it.
Right.
But joke's on them because we actually think that that piece of furniture may be haunted. And I asked you all this on Twitter, if you guys could guess which piece of furniture still exists from this time in our lives. And it is the dresser. And it's in my parents' house. And ever since then, they have had and reported to us paranormal activity.
And just to clarify, this is the dresser that was on the wall in front of the giant mold thing that came through. So this was dead center in the middle of the entire experience. And while we don't think that whatever demonic entity was in that apartment is attached to the dresser.
Right.
The dresser definitely has its own vibe and energy and presence in itself.
Yeah, it does. The dresser is a little weird. And I think it's interesting that it was in the epicenter of everything happening in that apartment. And if there was something attached to the dresser, or even if we're going to talk about objects absorbing energy, that was in the key spot to absorb our fear, our anger, our frustration, you know, and they decided to keep it. And you actually were theorizing that that could be where their experiences are from. And you've talked about that a lot over the years, that they never really believed in the paranormal and they never really had experiences until they decided to keep the dresser.
Right. I have always kind of felt like remnants of that apartment, that haunting, have lived on, just changed locations. While it wasn't the same thing we experienced, they're definitely, based on the things they've said, have like some little teeny things that I'm like, oh, well, we could have been experiencing that in our apartment and just chalked it up to a demonic type of thing where we were actually having multiple things happening at the same time.
Right. So our haunting was so intense. It's like, was this all one entity or were there multiple things sort of affecting us? Because there was so much activity in that place. And we've told you all the main key parts, but of course there's all these little things in between that happened that either we don't remember or just aren't significant enough to share that could have been a part of something totally different.
No, I completely agree. And this dresser is a real wood dresser. Like, it's, that's just why it's so heavy. It's 100% real wood. You can see the wood grain. You can feel it. It is insanely heavy. And I think it being real wood kind of gives it that extra little bit of almost the like stone tape theory, where it's not like a vinyl piece or a plastic piece. It was something that had life and like has the ability to have something cling to it.
Right. And we ended up calling my mom and seeing if they thought that their paranormal activity was connected to this dresser. And I know they've kept a log of paranormal activity. Like I said, they've become obsessed with the paranormal. So they kept a log of this, and we went ahead and called her and asked, and I'll play that phone call for you right now because I recorded it just for you guys. So let me play that right now.
Hello.
Do you guys still have that dresser that we had, the big Ethan Allen one? Do you think the paranormal activity in your house picked up after 2011?
Well, that is so funny because we were just talking that dresser we feel has something to do with it. We have just literally having this conversation.
Right now?
Yes.
Because, you know, our haunted apartment. Well, and in the one drawer, it looks like there's almost like bloodstains. It's creepy looking. And that's where that like creepy mold grew behind in our bedroom and stuff. And that's why we never pushed you to get that dresser back.
Why are you calling me and asking me about this? I said we were just talking about this. Exactly. We're having this conversation and your phone rang and it's you and you asked me that question.
Yeah, so as you can see, they were pretty freaked out that we had called. And simultaneously, at the same time as we called, they were actually having a conversation about how that dresser could be connected to the paranormal activity experiencing in their house.
Right, which, as you could tell, definitely freaked them out.
Yeah, yeah. So there is that weird synchronicity there. So jumping back into the story about where we were, after we had gotten all of our stuff out of this apartment and had lived on the side of the house for a while, we had found a new place and it was finally time to move in, thank goodness. So we packed up what stuff we could and we moved. But the apartment we had moved to first, as soon as we walked in, the floor was actually collapsing in the apartment. It was on a third story. And I don't even know how to explain this. They like carpeted over a hole that it, when you stepped on it, your foot sank. There was no floor under it.
Yeah, it was very strange. You could, if you looked up at it from the outside, you could see that it looked like the foundation had shifted and it was like you could see a teeny bit of a dip in the concrete where the porch was. Mm-hmm. And then when you got inside, it legitimately was like a skateboard ramp. Like it was high on one end towards the wall, it got really low in the middle, and then it went right back up high again at the other wall. And you actually like felt yourself moving a little faster when you walk towards the middle of the room.
Yeah, it was intense and there was no way we could live there, especially with there very evidently being holes in the floor. Yes. In places. So we went to the main office of this place and was like, whoa, we can't live here. And we had made the mistake again of renting without seeing a unit. If you guys are renting, make sure you see the unit first. That's my one piece of advice from being a renter all these years, is make sure you see actually where you're living. But we told them, like, this is unsafe. Like, there needs to be repairs in this apartment. And it just felt like all this bad luck kept hitting us. We couldn't escape our old apartment, because it's like after that we lived at my parents' house on the side of a house. Right. Like we finally got an apartment and the floor is caving in, and after much fighting with this apartment complex, they put us in the only unit they had available, which was a 3-2, and they said we could stay there for 1 month and then we had to either lease within the unit if any units came available, or we had to move out.
Right.
So we moved into this 3-2 and immediately it just was really weird.
Yeah, it had its own vibe. And to give kind of a mental picture, when you first walked into the door, the master bedroom was immediately on your right, and it had a master bath attached to it. On your left was the washer and dryer closet. And then as you walked straight, you'd have the dining room on your left. Just past that on the left was the kitchen. Your right was the living room. And then you walked further down the straight line. You had a small bedroom off to the right. And then you walked a little further. You had another small bedroom directly in front of you, and then a bathroom on your left.
Yeah. And it was kind of like, I guess, a long hallway of a apartment.
Right. And then just rooms on either side.
Mm-hmm. But this was really cool because we got to live in a huge place for a month. So neither of us were really upset about this. The most frustrating part was trying again within a month to find a place to live.
Oh, I know.
And unfortunately, this place, we had the only one they had available, and any others we could not afford. They were out of our budget. They were huge apartments.
Yes.
So we had to find another new place to live. But as I was unpacking and sort of separating our boxes out into the rooms, I went to the very back room and bathroom and just got like these shivers. The room felt dark and wet, and I felt this like masculine presence, and it scared the crap out of me because I thought, oh no, here we go again. Did this follow us? Is this, you know, the thing? Is this the darkness, whatever you want to call it? Or did we just happen to, of all places, move into another freaking haunted apartment?
Right.
And I did not immediately mention something to you. You know, you think we'd learn by now, but we had just moved in. It was a stressful going of things, and I didn't say crap. So as we're living there, instantly we're opening up the fridge and like roaches are falling out of the fridge.
They're alive.
Falling out of the oven. It was just like horror movie-esque. And you walked into the back bedroom because I was like, oh, maybe that would be a good place for our storage while we're living here. Things we don't want to unpack within this month, we can put back there. And what were your initial impressions from that back room?
So it was creepy. When you first walked in, it just kind of felt like you weren't alone. And it did have a very like heavy, like humidity wise feeling.
Yeah.
And it just didn't feel clean. Mm-hmm. Like it almost just felt like you walked into something that, or walked into like a location that was abandoned for a while and starting to get decrepit. While even though this place had like a fresh coat of paint and was
beautiful,
decent, like, yeah, there was no real issues cosmetically, visually, it just didn't feel right.
Yeah, and it was creepy, it was weird. We decided to live in that front master bedroom and locked the doors at night. It was really scary. And then we decided to move again, and we moved out of that place. And essentially at this point, I was trying to listen to the priest. I kept hearing him in my head, you don't see spirits, you don't see anything. And I was like, yeah, you're right. I don't see spirits, I don't see anything. Like, he's absolutely right. If I don't see them, these bad things can't happen. And I felt like in this apartment that maybe I was looking. I was open. I felt strange, and I almost like turned up my psychic senses a little bit and was like, ooh, what's in here? And I knew I couldn't do that. So I kept closing off my mind. We found another apartment. It was perfect. It was not haunted. Yay. And we had moved in. But during this whole few months experience between this, I started seeing spirits everywhere. I was seeing them at school. I was seeing them on the side of the road. I was seeing them in a parking lot. I was seeing them standing in creeks or rivers. I was seeing them walking through the forest. I was seeing them literally everywhere. And I just kept screaming at myself inside and was like, shut up. Like, don't see these things. What are you doing? You don't see spirits. You don't see them. This is not real. This is not a thing. Like, go to church and pray, because this isn't, you're not supposed to do this. And it really started bothering me, but it felt like the more I tried to ignore it, the worse it got. It was almost like, you know, a little kid who wants candy and you're like, no, not right now. And it's like, no, really, I want candy. And the more you fight them, the worse the tantrum gets, you know? And I felt like it was like that with my mediumship. The more I fought it, the more spirits were like, we're here.
Right.
And I decided, you know, I really respect this priest. I absolutely am thankful for him giving us these crosses. I'm grateful that he gave us advice. I believed him when he said we should move. It didn't follow us. Like, I am forever grateful for him being there in that moment, because I had no one else to turn to and nobody else would even talk to us. But I couldn't listen to this one thing he told me, that I didn't see stuff, and I had tried my whole life to not see stuff, and I just couldn't, I couldn't turn it off. And I thought, if I couldn't turn it off, I might as well learn how to use it, because maybe if I learned how to use it, I could learn how to shut it off that way. So I decided to start seeking help, and I found a source that was from a Christian faith, and they explained that the prophets weren't actually talking to Jesus or God face to face. They were freaking mediums. Mm-hmm. And that really kind of made me feel a little bit better, because it was like, oh crap, you know, this is a religious outlook on mediumship. And you're right, it's not the devil. It's not something bad. Maybe, you know, this person explained that mediums are like modern day prophets. We just like to ostracize them because we have developed a culture where we don't want to believe the spirituality. But if they lived in Jesus's time, people would be following them around and being like, oh my God, what's the next message from Jesus? So that gave me a little bit of hope that maybe I'm not evil. Maybe this isn't the devil. Maybe this isn't horrible. So I decided to, you know what? Let's go with this route. Let's try and figure it out. I didn't think I was a prophet. I don't want you guys to take it that way. But this did make me feel like I wasn't the Antichrist, which I kind of felt like in this moment. I felt like I was, you know, on Satan's side or whatever.
Right, and that information more normalized it for you a little bit.
Yeah, it made me feel like, you know, maybe there could be a happy medium between... You're smiling when I said a happy medium. Yeah, you know, maybe I could be a happy medium. maybe there could be this, like, happy middle ground between my religious beliefs at that time and this side of my brain I couldn't shut off. So we will pick back up next time as I try to figure out mediumship and accept it and the wormhole that goes through. So do you have any final closing thoughts?
Just to mention, since we didn't mention it earlier, if you guys would like to help support our podcast, please check out our merchandise on either
myspiritdiaries.com or etsy.com/shop/spiritdiaries.
So if you guys want to check us out there, Birdie has created some original t-shirts and some merchandise to help rep the Spirit Diaries. So that will help us with equipment and locations for investigation in the future, and just all around help us keep doing this and keep producing content for you guys.
Yeah, so we also have our Patreon page, which is patreon.com/spiritdiaries, and over there I've been posting some photos, some behind the scenes content. As we go on investigations, more will go over there, so that's really exciting. And in terms of investigations, I'm sort of out of the loop on that, but can I ask, since we're on the podcast, is there anything in the works right now?
We have a few different locations I'm in communications with.
Oh, so no.
We will definitely have some investigations in the future.
So I am really excited for those, and we've talked about making those available on YouTube, as well as some Patreon exclusive content. So definitely make sure you're subscribing to YouTube and you're staying up to date on with us. And I do want to say, you guys guessed really well, for I asked you over on Twitter, which is @spirit_diaries. And I asked you all over there which object from our apartment you thought we kept. A lot of you guessed the mirror. You guys are crazy.
Yeah.
I would not keep the mirror. And a lot of you thought we kept the painting. Unfortunately, we did throw away the painting as soon as I finished it. It was really scary. I do wish we at least grabbed a photo, but this was back before we thought maybe it would be a good idea to document some of this stuff. So yeah, unfortunately, the painting got thrown away and the mirror got left in that place because it was creepy.
Yeah.
And to this day, we actually don't have a full body mirror. That was the last time we've ever had a mirror in our place aside from bathroom mirrors.
Yep. We only have bathroom mirrors now.
So there's never have ever been another mirror in our life. We don't play with that. So thank you guys for engaging over on Twitter. It's definitely been fun. So make sure you follow us over there. And due to your request, we have gotten asked to be more active on Instagram. So I have been trying when I go to graveyards or I get new books or I play with some stuff in my room that's spiritually in nature. I try and post some pictures of it. That way you guys can be a little bit more engaged outside of our Patreon, outside of our Twitter, outside of the podcast. So trying to keep you guys in the loop as much as we can. We're kind of social media literate, so we appreciate your patience as we figure all this out with you. And I hope you enjoyed this episode of The Spirit Diaries. We will see you all next time, and we have some crazy stories to come. So if you think you've heard the worst of it, it gets a lot more exciting from here. Bye.